July 17, 2023, it's the Watt for Pedro Show. Watt for Pedro Show, happy Monday. Start off with John Coltrane doing Chasing the Train. This is a live excerpt for November 22, 1962. Then we had from Blood Rhythms on John Cage's first prepared piano, people, so I'm led to believe. Zerosite, number two. And, because of those Skype invention from those Estonian software engineers I got with me. Starvo, Zylo, welcome aboard.
Thanks very much for having me. I look forward to it.
Yeah, now we got to thank right away Leslie for the connect. Leslie Kiefer. So I'm interested in your journey through music. So can we start with you bringing me your earliest musical memory?
My earliest memory the first memory I have is listening to Twisted Sister. Somebody was playing Twisted Sister, We're Not Gonna Take It on the radio, and I didn't know what to do with it. I was probably 2 years old or something, maybe earlier. But I was sitting in a chair and I didn't know what I was supposed to do. I didn't know how to, you know, headbang or dance. So I was sort of like wanting to shake to it or tremble to it or something. That's honestly my first memory. Not even just music, but my first memory at all.
So they kind of coincided.
Yeah, definitely.
And anyway, I think music is a fucking almost inherent connect with us being knowing that we're alive. Just my guess. Pad you grew up in, Harville, the pad you grew up in, was there musical instruments?
No, but I spent a lot of time at my grandparents' house, and they had record players. I don't know how popular this was ever, but they had record players that would be able to play things on repeat, like singles on repeat. So I could put a stack of singles, and it would play them on repeat. And it had to be a big influence on me because I was down there listening to the same record over and over again. And you know, I was 5 years old playing pool or something. And I've never seen another one. I don't know if it's a warped memory or something, but that's the closest to a music instrument I was ever around as a kid is a turntable.
So you're saying infinite loop kind of experience.
Yeah, I've always been the type of person to listen to music on repeat. So,
well, you know, there's some records that are mastered with a closed groove. In fact, you know, when they're mastering, when they're cutting the thing that's going to make the mother that they make stampers of. So, yeah, it'll keep playing over. And then there's another trick you can do. Do you remember this comedy troupe, Monty Python? They had this record called Matching Tie and Handkerchief or some shit, I can't remember. But it actually had three sides, because two of the sides were on the same side, depending on where you dropped that needle.
Yeah, I know about those.
The cheese shop, right? I think it's that skit, the cheese shop. So let me ask you this. What about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, I never joined any groups officially, but I got a drum kit. I wanted to play drums. I'd always, you know, tapped my fingers or tapped pencils on desks and stuff like that, and I eventually thought that I wanted to play drums. But I never, for the longest time, I didn't have a place to practice. So there was maybe a 6 months period of time where I was able to practice. I never got good at it. And then my parents moved. The drum set got in storage, and I never got around to getting a practice space. So it was a short period of time where I was trying to be a drummer, but that was long enough for me to join a band, hoping that we eventually get a practice spot.
I was going to ask you, did you go through the, it seems like almost everybody nowadays has some years where the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band, right? You get together with your buddies and you start jamming it. And it's usually at the drummy's house, so you don't have to wait for tearing down and building up. And also maybe the parents are a little more tolerant because they can take that bam bam shit, right?
Yeah, that makes sense. But that didn't happen for me until I was out of high school. But when I was in high school, what we ended up doing was electronics. And that was kind of how I started really with experimental music. We realized we didn't have a practice space, so there were electride chord machines around, and I was just going to try to work for some kind of percussion section. I was trying to learn how to program, but I was always too abstract to even begin to keep it. You know, I've never been a good metronome. I'm always kind of out there spacing out on things and stuff. It just ended up being more of an electronic gothic kind of thing than a rock band. But, you know, I was listening to punk and industrial and stuff like that later in high school. So
you're familiar with Kraftwerk, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, they had two drummers, and they played electronic drums, but not letting sequencers do it. They actually played them. They just had electronic sounds.
Yeah, and you know, Devo actually were playing electronic drums too.
Yes.
They held out amplifier speakers and started banging on the backs of those or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in a way, that's kind of like, you know, Charlie Christian on the electric guitar.
I'm afraid I don't know who that is. I'm embarrassed already. But
he's the first guy to make electric guitar popular for people. Jimi Hendrix talked about him a lot. He was in Benny Goodman's band. He only 2 years. Tuberculosis killed him at 25. And he's about 5-6 years ahead of the vaccine, and it cut him short. But he's, you know, up to that point, the guitar had to be in the rhythm section with the bass and the drums and the piano and every, because it was everybody against the horns, right? No amplified stuff. So amplifiers changed everything. So I think there's kind of a hybrid between, like you're talking, percussion, but then also the electronic thing, without giving way to like sequencers where, you know, the notes come whether you say yes or no, right? Because it's like, it's kind of like a electronic player piano with the paper with the holes in it, right?
yeah, a little bit like that.
Yeah. So, interested in your course. So, you say you and your guys. So, what are these? Are friends at school? Friends in the neighborhood?
Yeah, friends in school. It was a kind of situational thing. It was like my friend. I made a new friend. He moved to school and he got picked on very quickly. So I ended up kind of befriending him, and then we became friends quickly. But we ended up in this basement with another friend of ours, and we were going to try to get a studio together, not just a band, but a studio. And so it was a lot more about recording.
I was going to say that, because it seems like a lot of cats who get into electronics early also get into home recording early.
Yeah, I started out on my friend's 4-track. As far as music goes, I mean, I have to say that I started out making visual art mostly until about age 17. And then as soon as I thought I discovered experimental music like nobody else had ever made it before, you know, and I just really took off when I started making experimental music. And, you know, whenever I was in a punk band or any other kind of more functional band, I was trying to stick things into fan units. I was trying to make noise instead of just playing keyboards or whatever I was doing.
Right. You gave me this tune here called Phantom, a Potom No File. And I guess It's an excerpt. I guess it's a bigger piece. But let's listen to that. It's interesting. Peace.
出さないから忘れるのだ。先延ばしするから生きてきたのだ。拾わないから死んでゆくのだ。持ってるから減ってゆくのだ。間近になったから裏切られるのだ。信頼するから減ってゆくのだ。約束しないから海に落ちないのだ。疑わないから菓子を食べるのだ。時計がないからよそごとなのだ。打ち勝ちたいから誘われるのだ。誘惑されないから出口がないのだ。目に見えるから間違えるのだ。分析するからチェーンをかけるのだ。弱点を磨くから目を合わせるのだ。尋問されるから眠くなるのだ。苦しむから度数を高くするようになるのだ。
Thank you. Yeah. tell you of a peculiar fright. They are slimy, wiggly, and white. They crawl left. They squirm right. They slither and stink and bite. You'll never win, though try as you might. Make sure to wear your goggles tight. They don't go out without fight. Beware the maggots.
Pedro Show. That chunk of music started off with Blood Rhythms featuring Gitane, Dimone, and David Oakspawn. Yeah. Phantom Apotomophile. And it's an excerpt, people. Then we had Lung with Fucked Up, Darling. Conan Neutron and the Secret Friends with Wild Annex. Jella sent me out on his, what's it called? Alternative Tentacle.
Cool.
Yeah. DTR and Mike Watt. Oh, yeah, this is a collaboration I did with the, let's see, Head Boggle in East Bay and Drummer Man in Ohio. Yeah. Reel of the Uncollected Crucifixion Aria on the Penal Peeler. Pillar. Also, the vocalist is Tori from Japan. Couch. Jeff Couch was on, Rich Couch is the drummer man. He was on the show last month. God, sometimes my memory. Senior moment, people. Sorry. Doug Wimbish have that great bass man from Connecticut. Splash from his solo album. Brendan Etter Ensemble. Here's a drum man that writes fucking whole suites, symphonies and shit. And there's tune Heat from his big piece. It's about a house. Trippy. A.E. Downs with Gold Moon. Rent Party out of Chicago with All My Life. You're Chicago, right?
Yep.
Okay. I can see there. SWRM with She Wore the Knives. They're going to do some gigs with Joe Biza with Damon on the bass. Maybe Dan on the trumpet, too. I can't remember. Swenson Clane out of Canada with Saccharine Feathers. Father. Saccharine Father. Speaking of Saccharine Trust, huh, Joe Biza? Cinderella and Ice Spank Machine. That was before. Out of Vancouver. That's his friend of Jealous, too. And then finally, Blood Rhythms with Nota del Casu Marzu. Or Maggots Drag. Okay. Blood Rhythms. This is your proj.
Yeah, definitely. It's okay. It's like a collaborative umbrella for me.
Okay, I don't want to jump ahead because we're still you're with your buddy in 17, 18 years old, and you guys are in somebody else's basement.
Yeah, eventually we moved up into somebody's attic and tried to start a little home studio kind of thing. Two friends of mine, I'll call them. One of them is Infectious Rex, and the other guy is named NV13. So we never really played live. We recorded a lot, but we never really released anything. And it just became me being more experimental and then kind of making more accessible industrial pop kind of instrumental music.
Now this is a trio, right?
At that time, yeah, it was.
We wouldn't call it a power trio. People aren't playing traditional instruments, right?
It was like all of us made our own music and we involved each other. You know,
I'm curious about what instruments. Were they self-made, like Harry Parch kind of stuff?
For me, it was programming with Electribe devices, and eventually a sequencer came into the picture. And I've been really stuck on this Yamaha RM1X sequencer since then. I've owned a couple of them now.
Okay. And what did the other two cats play?
One of them was a multi-instrument. Actually, they were both multi-instrumentalists. They did guitar and bass, and they could play keys, too. I ended up being in another band where they taught me how to play keyboard, but it was a punk band, and they just couldn't keep a drummer, right? I'm sure you know that story. So drummers kept quitting, and I kept trying to program beats. You know, I'm not trying to make dance music. That's not what I do, but I was trying to help out. Like, maybe it would end up being a Big Black kind of thing.
Where they played to a drum machine. I tell you, you know, there were some guys from Seattle called the Tupperwares. And they came to Hollywood in the 70s, and they made a band called the Screamers. And KK would play his trap drum kit alongside a rhythm machine.
Yeah, I love the Screamers. Actually, Gitana Damon is regularly working with Paul Roessler at the Screamers.
Absolutely. They got a band together. Paul's I think he runs the studio, Josie Cotton's studio, the Robot Kitty or something, downtown L.A. Yeah,
that's where she recorded those vocals from that track that we did. Yeah.
She's quite a singer. Much respect.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, and Paul, too. Great cat. I did a little project with him, what was just bass and piano, called Criminy. Made a couple of records. But this thing about, drum machines and human beings and the Screamers, KK did it both.
Yeah, and I'm lucky to have discovered them very early on. You know, not a lot of people have heard of them at my age in high school. You know, it was like age 18, but...
Well, let me know, because, you know, they would make records. They thought records were old-fashioned. We got some demos nowadays, but they didn't want any of that shit released. They wanted to be a purely video band.
Yeah, that CD called A Better World came out around that time, and that's how I heard of them.
Right, it was, okay. There's also a live at Target video thing.
Yeah, and that's great, too, but I never saw that early on. I saw that on YouTube later, you know.
Yeah, there's a great gig at Mabuhay Gardens in the city, too, early on. And, I was a huge fan of Screamers. I got to see them play many times. They're probably the first band that could sell out the Whiskey A Go-Go in West Hollywood. And they had no guitar. See, this is the idea. When you say punk, you know, that's why I said more of a state of mind, because there really was no monolith image of what a punk band was. It was like whatever you got up on stage.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I gravitated towards a little bit more of the industrial stuff. But
there was bands early on like that. In fact, they were called their label was Industrial Records, Throb and Gristle.
Yeah, and I actually, incidentally, right before our phone call, I didn't even know that you toured with Flipper. Flipper was a big influence, too.
Yeah, I helped those guys out. Beautiful getting to play. I love Brother Ted and Steve, and their music is, yeah. Well, Minutemen got to play with them, you know, 40-something years ago. That's a trip.
Oh, cool.
But there was another great band in the scene that was kind of in between electronic. In fact, they called themselves synth punk. They were called Nervous Gender. You ever hear them?
I sure did. Yeah.
They came
out
of UCLA. Yeah, really good band. In fact, the Germs drummer, Don Bowles, joined them later. At first, they had like an 8-9-year-old drummer from Sweden. He got deported.
Oh, that was actually a drummer early on? Early stuff?
The trippy band. But, you know, coming from arena rock, which was me, right? We graduated high school in 76, so we're right in the perfect place. And that's the way I see it. I see the movement as an antidote to arena rock, because all these little details we're talking about, you couldn't see that some big old fucking Enormodome clown show, you know? And in a way, it was us finding out about it again, because, you know, helping the Stooges out, I found out in the 60s there was all kinds of club culture. It just got lost for a few years in the 70s with that arena rock shit, kind of Nuremberg rally shit. So that's the way I look at it, and that's why I don't look at it as just playing guitar really fast. That's something that came in the early 80s with hardcore and stuff, but that was only one angle, and nothing against that either. I love it all.
Well, if I can give you a little insight, what actually happened was I sat down to try to learn music with my friends and sort of be their percussion backing. Because I couldn't be a drummer, I felt responsible. You know, I couldn't practice anywhere, and we didn't have a practice space. So what ended up happening eventually was I was given LSD, and I just ended up playing with these Electribe rhythm machines for, I think, 7 hours or something. It was just rhythms, and I don't mean dance music. It was just loops of different electronic sounds, and one of them had an input where we would stick a tape recorder into the rhythm machine so we can play with the patterns of the input. So if we recorded something to tape that was rhythmic, we could manipulate the rhythms on these rhythm machines. So it was not just a synthesizer or a drum machine, but it was also kind of a real-time sampler or something like that. It was weird, but yeah.
What you're saying is it was dynamic, so it could change. It wasn't static.
Yeah, and it got so the patterns got so engaging that if you switch something, it would be like switching a different light on. Like it would get brighter if things changed in a good way, you know.
Sure.
So, sort of like tribal drumming or something like that. It was just this kind of trance-like. And so that's really where I started and where I've stayed pretty much musically is kind of rhythmic experimental music.
And what about performance wise? Do you can you remember your first performance doing this kind of music?
Yeah, it was in 2003. It was a house show. It was funny because everybody else was in a regular rock band, but I'm not sure what they were doing for vocals, but I don't remember. But what they did for me was they had me play through two really, really big amplifiers. I think they were both bass amplifiers, and I cleared the whole house. Everybody left. It was really, really loud. What I actually did was I played a bunch of applause sounds through my sequencer.
Yeah.
So if you didn't have the distortion, it would just be clapping sounds or roaring sounds, just generic sounds. But when you played it through all those speakers, through the big speakers, it was just like brutally loud. And I didn't know anything about harsh noise at the time. It was basically harsh noise.
It was also your first gig, so you can only have your first gig once. That's beautiful. Arvo, we're at the end of the first hour, July 17, 2023. Just Wap Pete or so. Time for hour two. July 17, 2023, second hour, Watch for Pedro Show. Rock for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Vode. With Leslie Keffer. We were talking about this off-air, people. Psychic Silver. After that, Damon Smith. He's going to be torn with Joe Biden, like I said. Ron Kalam, Bob Moses duo. Speaking Windows. Then Ray Shin out of Reno. With We'll Always Have Niagara Falls. Or like my Italian brothers say, Niagara. The Face. This is from Blood Rhythms. Featuring Mike Weiss, Bruce Lamont, and Dave Phillips. So, a few tunes I've played now from Blood Rhythms. So, when does this evolution come?
Look, Blood Rhythms started in 2010 after I had been kind of putting together these, like, ramshackle ensembles before that, and it didn't have a band name at the time until I just decided to make one. But the ensembles before that were basically, I just put together a bunch of people with brass instruments and we just blared horns. We tried to make drone music at the time. I tried to get them to make drone music, but everybody kind of just did their own thing, solos or whatever. And it was good, but eventually it evolved to like scrap metal and, you know, my friend had a car parts and stuff like that. But
are you hip to the guy? We lost him. Zev?
I co-released a collaboration he did with Illusion of Safety 2022.
Man, that cat was bitching, man. I saw him in the 70s, late 70s, and his gigs were experiences, let me tell you. He was almost killed by his shit.
Yeah, I only saw him doing electronic stuff before he passed, but unfortunately I missed all of his metal stuff. But
He'd have it suspended, hanging, you know? So this shit was in motion.
It's like I say, I listened to Blake Edwards' interview with you not too long before this, and
he's a friend Blake. Of mine,
and I had all the recordings that he released with Zev on, you know, Unz and stuff like that.
Yeah, Brother Blake took care of Zev in his last days.
Yeah, definitely.
Really beautiful. Really beautiful. So we're heading towards the evolution of Blood Rhythms, right? What happens?
Okay, so it started out being just kind of a drone brass ensemble, and we eventually made it into a kind of a full band thing. There was points where we did four drummers at the same time and a whole brass ensemble kind of thing. Blood Rhythms became a more formal way to present that stuff. And in The Face, that particular track came to me sort of like a bolt of lightning when I was on the way to a show. I actually took my gear into the sound booth and programmed a new piece beyond the one that I had already prepared or whatever. And I did it on the spot. The lyrics came to me like on the train, on the spot. It was not improvised. It came to me like a download, you know, in my brain, a bolt of lightning, and I performed it, but I didn't get to perform it the first time because there was a dog barking at me. There was actually a dog in the performance space, and the dog was going to bite my damn head off if I kept screaming. So,
But you list these other four cats. Three guys.
We did a studio record. I performed the piece solo initially.
You're talking about the first time you played it, the live performance, and then you go into the studio. Okay, I understand.
Yeah, we did it with a lot of people. We did it with, in 2015, we did it with four drummers and four brass people. That piece, along with the others that are on the record, that's it's called Civil War. Yeah. Those pieces were done live from 2010 to 2016. Like only those four pieces over and over again when I toured by myself or when I was with a group in Chicago.
Okay, you gave me this track called Fuck. Let's listen.
Yeah. to stop buying into him. Material excess means nothing to spiritual flesh. Mortal bodies search for meaning by degrading everything they touch for profit. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. The only possibility of knowing God lives in a rare moment of deep connection. When we catch the soul of another at just the right angle, where the light finally hits us, then we begin to see what was there all along. There is nothing to say to give you this sight, but when the rare moment comes, remember. Remember the words that have no sounds. The words that hold all meaning. It is the intimate communication that will bring about transformation. Lock eyes when you release. In silence, repeat after me. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. The oral tradition is what keeps us alive, because spoken words are living beings coming forth from our breath. God's at the tips of our tongue. Learning to speak it causes you to become divine. The real revolution starts from within and completes itself as total communion, overcoming the boundaries between us, revealing the sacred to be a shared experience, reminiscent of a past we can't remember, but we know exists. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here coming from the inside. Coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, coming from the inside, coming inside. He will only find living words here, vital speech about inner life, a penetrating voice coming from the inside, coming inside.
Watch for Pedro Show, that chunk of music started off with Arvo Zylo. Notice it ain't Blood Rhythms, people, this is his name. And it's called Fuck. And in parentheses, it's asterisk, and then it says 04. Then we had live stream of 3 days Domino Noise University on March 15, 2023. Encore Jam with Victoria Shentenko, Dora Video, Makoto Kawabata, Tetsuya Nakamura. Chuck Johnson after that with Letters from the Addict. And then finally, Blood Rhythms featuring Joan Pope doing Living Words. Okay, hip as to fuck, brother Arvo.
So my first proper release, I don't know, it was a CDR. It was the first one that I did that wasn't really, really handmade. It was, instead, it was Xeroxed and, you know, spray painted or whatever, but it was the first proper CDR that I did in 2004. And the track titles were just fuck asterisk one, fuck asterisk two, fuck asterisk three. It was sort of like, the idea was to avoid track titles, but I don't like untitled. Untitled didn't do the job for me. It was sort of like this. A lot of that stuff was recorded when I was living in a closet. So it was, I was an insomniac and I was living in a closet. I was living in an abandoned house actually a lot of the time.
You were living in the closet of an abandoned house.
It was the only place that, rats didn't get to. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Yeah. So, in a way, this was kind of a document of a moment in your life.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Between 2001 and 2004, that's when that stuff was created. But there was a period of time where I was pretty prolific because I couldn't sleep at all.
Right, right.
That's most of that stuff. It was like I would work on it for 27 hours straight, maybe sleep an hour if I was lucky, and go back to it, you know.
And this is before Blood Rhythms.
Definitely, yeah. Okay. 2001 to 2003-ish, and I recorded it in early 2004.
Okay, tell me about this collab with Joan Pope.
Joan Pope is a person I have a great deal of respect for. She's a collage artist and an experimental musician. She makes a little bit more danceable stuff sometimes, too, but it's with the intention of trance. Like getting into trances, I think it's more psychedelic than it is dance music, like dancing music. But she and I sort of connected briefly just because she's got a lot of her spoken word stuff just out there. Anybody can collaborate with her if they find the right album that she did where it's basically spoken word. And it says there you can collaborate with her, and I had already been in touch with her. So I said, you know, I really would like to work with this stuff if that's okay with you. And so that's kind of how that worked out. I used four different pieces that she had already recorded, and I cut it up and arranged it in a way that it had a sort of narrative that wasn't there before.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, she does a project called Temple of Saturn, and it's kind of popular compared to me anyway. It's more popular than my stuff.
But, you know what? This is a lot from Pedro show. That parameter does not fit. You know, I like people who let the freak flag fly, and then you count what sells after.
That's me, too. I do the work and then figure it out later.
Yeah, but because, you know, people who try to pick next week's hits, it's usually them trying to revive last week's hits. And there's no growth in that shit. That's just some kind of like, I don't know, it seems kind of corrupt to me.
I really only value intuition. In terms of experimental music, there's like two reasons I make experimental music. One of them is a sort of, let's call it transcendent or meditative or something where you can kind of space out a bit and lose whatever you had before. Whether it's cathartic or not is up to someone else.
Yeah.
And then the other reason I do things, oh man, I forgot. No, I'm just kidding. It's sort of like vicarious ecstatic. I don't want to call it ecstasy, but like...
No, ecstatic, like a whirling dervish.
Yeah, like I'll call it ecstasticity, like being ecstatic. Like somebody banging on a bunch of pots and pans, you know, if they're really into it, I can get into it. But if they're not into it, I probably wouldn't respond to it as well, you know?
Right.
That's really what I do it for. It's I don't even know what to do with it as far as like selling it anymore. But I'm gonna keep doing it, you know.
Keep on keeping on. Look, we're at the hour two there, July 17, 2023, the Watt Pedro Show. Special guest, Arvo Zylo. Hold tight for hour three. July 17, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watt Pedro Show. Watch for Pedro Show started off the third hour with Blood Rhythms featuring Bruce Lamont, Dave Purdy, and Brian Klein. And the tune, Cutter Magnolias, people, it's an excerpt. So you can imagine the whole enchilada, right? After that, Tobacco with Welcome, Pittsburgh. Blood Rhythms with Leslie Keffer. Goodness gracious. Leslie Keffer, you give me two collabs that you done with her. We're listening to this show. What's the connect with her?
I met her in, I think, 2003, maybe 2005, something like that. But I think it was earlier than that. And we never really connected that much. But eventually we reconnected and started talking. And it's during the pandemic we started talking online. And she helped me. She has a healing technique that she uses remotely, and she actually helped me recover from long COVID to the degree that I could anyway. I still have long COVID, but I'm doing much, much better than I was before. So she would work on me every day, and we would also work on drone music, because that's really where I'm at right now, is like microscopic obsession with certain sounds. So, for example, she did mantras, she did Buddhist mantras, and she sang those in a repetitive fashion. And I just worked on them in a way that it's like tectonic plates shifting or something. It's just constantly moving, but it's a linear kind of monolithic structure. I don't like it to be called minimal, because I'm never minimal in anything that I do. But one of the things that I do is kind of fail. I fail at everything. And one example of that is I was, you know, told that recording engineers or mixing engineers will like layer things like 97 guitars or something. And so when I got that in my head, I was trying to do this mixing stuff when I was in a different band, and I was trying to layer stuff like 97 guitars or whatever. And it was a complete failure as far as regular music goes, but it became one of my main methods and interests in arranging, you know, soundscapes or whatever. And so that's what I was doing with Leslie's voice for that later one.
Okay. And last hour we did one too, Psychic Silver.
Yeah, that's me with sheet metal and I also scraped a bunch of toolbox. I scraped a bunch of cookie cutters around in the bottom of a toolbox. I also play with a cymbal with the cookie cutters and with some forks, and just some banging is involved. I banged on the toolbox a lot. So I sent her all that source material and she arranged it. I sent you a couple of things that she actually finished, just to give credit where it's due. I mean, she's a very talented person. A lot of the time with Blood Rhythms, I'm finishing everything, but with her, it was a collaboration, and that's why Vogue was necessary, because it needed its own space for she and I to work together, rather than Blood Rhythms having this narrative of kind of like a revolving door collective kind of thing.
Yeah.
Me and Leslie are more of a unit as far as Vogue goes now, so that it's not
separate from Blood Rhythms, separate from Arvo Zylo. Like the next two tracks we're going to play, they're both under your name, Arvo Zylo.
Yeah, so those would be solo. There's nobody else on.
Okay, let's listen to Upheaval version 93. You mean there's 92 versions before this one?
There's 100 total. Yeah, the last one is 4 hours long.
Criminy! Yes! Okay, let's listen.
Thank you. Thank you.
spot for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Chunk started off with Arvil Zylo doing Upheaval version 93. Took 92 versions to get to there, people, and there were 7 after. It's pretty interesting. Then we had the Born Shitsters out of Fukuoka, Japan, doing Pay to Wank. Maybe it's a joke on Bad Brain first single. And finally, Arvil Zylo, Deadbeat Deluxe. You know, for a while, there was a Hollywood punk band called Deadbeats, and Paul Rossler was in it. It was these two brothers, two or three brothers. Yeah.
That I did not know. That's
yeah, they cool. turned into a band called Bent, but they were very trippy. Very trippy. Played, drummer would set up with one of the brothers. He set up on the side, sideways, and they had interesting meters and rhythms and counter rhythms and stuff. About what era was this for you, these pieces under your own name here, Upheaval and Deadbeat Deluxe?
Okay, well, Upheaval was a series. That series started because I was doing a compilation track in 2005. I sent it to this, it was a supposed Dadaist label. They call themselves a Dadaist label, and they did a compilation. I sent them the track, and I told them what it was, and what it was, it was me sampling Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey and, you know, Aretha Franklin and stuff like that. I was sampling them holding high notes or sustained high notes. And I did a drone that way. But, you know, nobody would know that unless I told them. But they told me they didn't want to do that because of copyright issues or something. So from that point on, every time I had the opportunity to be on a compilation, I just did another version of Upheaval and sent it to them because, you know, they wouldn't know about the copyright issues and whatnot.
Right.
So, it ended up being on a couple of full-length releases, though. That was one of them. There were 2 full-length releases that people just Timble Tapes put out the first full-length where they just asked me to work with minimal sound, and I told them I already have this kind of narrative going on. And they, you know, they released the first full-length, and then I thought I would have the final full-length done with 93 through 99.
Yeah.
But I ended up working with a net label, and so if it was going to be on the internet only, I did one that was 4 hours long. So that was the final one.
And what about Deadbeat Deluxe?
Now, that's from the sequencer stuff I worked on between 2000 and 2010 or so primarily, and that's from a full length called 333 that I worked on for about 6 years. It was this, every time I played live solo for that period of time, it was me programming for about 27 hours straight and going straight to the venue when I was done.
Yeah.
So every time I played a show, I revised a lot of this material, or I created something completely new. But usually I created something completely new. Anyway, long story short, this stuff is a lot of malfunction, and there are glitches involved that make this stuff, the beats go really off kilter. My friend called it Deadbeat Deluxe because he couldn't dance to it, basically. So that was, yeah.
So what is next for you, Arvil?
There will be a box set of stuff that I didn't put out yet. Like between 2012 and 2020, there's some stuff I didn't put out yet. And some stuff on my label that's coming out. A lathe between myself and Leslie is in production right now. We're going to do a lathe record. I'm trying to think of what else.
This is Vode, right?
Yeah, Vode. Yeah. Vode is going to have actually a double lathe, but it'll be single-sided. There'll be 2 single-sided lathes meant for 2 turntables at the same time.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
In this box set, it's going to be Blood Rhythms?
Yep. It's going to have a 12-inch lathe, 4 CDRs, and 4 cassettes, plus some art, stuff like that. Yeah.
Now, is there a place on the internet that listeners can go to find out more about your music?
That would be nopartofit.bandcamp.com. That's my label, No Part of It.
Okay, No Part of It. That's a good name.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, and this stuff is, you've got, since it's stuff from what, 2012 to 2020, so older stuff, you got it all together. Is it coming out real soon?
That's going to be hard to tell. It's going to be in a laser-etched wooden box, and we're still trying to sort all that out. We're also trying to sort out how to ship art that's very easily breakable.
Well, so, I think that's neat because, in a way, you know, because, right, this digital zeros and ones thing versus, like, having actual works of art, you know, that's really interesting.
Yeah, we're doing the assembly record that Cutter Magnolias came out on, that had all handmade art. There was handmade collages on every single copy of that one.
Okay.
So that's kind of where I'm going with it. The music is good, but it's kind of about intuition for me, being visual and audio and anything else, you know, physical if I can.
Oh, yeah, great. You know, when the box set comes out, can I invite you back on the show? We can play and stuff from it and talk about it?
I would be absolutely honored. That would be great.
Okay. I got a tour coming up, so sometime later in the fall, maybe?
I hope it's out by then. That would be great
okay.
if it was out
well,
by
I'll be patient. I'll wait. Remember what Mr. Wells learned us, no wine before it's time. Okay. Big honor to have you aboard, Arvel. Thank you so much. Can't wait to have you back, truly. People,
thank you. Have a great tour.
Yeah, thank you so much. People, July 17, 2023, the Dishwat Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.